1965. I was born in 1965, so this year, in January 12th of this year, I turned 54 years old. But in that 54 years, which might not be, I still feel fairly young until I look in the mirror and see the white in my beard or whatever. But until I feel the groans and the aches and the pains of working really hard for a day or something. But I still feel fairly young. But in that year, in those years of my life, I've seen some changes. Not as many as some of you have seen changes, but I can remember the party line telephone, when you had to know what number of rings were coming into your house and you couldn't answer, or just on your own word you wouldn't answer. We always had a lady in the area that would answer your phone too, so she could listen and see what was going on in the neighborhood. But you had to know if it was a long and two shorts or something of that nature, and then you would answer. I remember those days. I remember the days of just black and white TV. You know, and when you had to go and you had to turn the antenna outside, and then someone is down a little further and down a little further. Now, a little more, a little more, a little more. You know, you're turning. So I thought we'd really moved into the twilight zone when my dad got this automatic rotor for our antenna that would actually turn the antenna toward where you could get better TV. Man, but it was black and white TV. I remember black and white TV. And I also remember when you had to call ahead. And if you had an emergency after hours, you had to call ahead. And in Wellsboro, anyway, you had to call ahead so that the emergency room doctor would meet you at the emergency room. The emergency room was not open 24 hours a day. It was so if you leave your house, you would have to call ahead. You would call the hospital, and they would say, okay, well, we'll get the doctor. We'll call him in. He'll meet you at the emergency room, unlock the door, and you can go in and get your emergency taken care of. So there was no 911 at that time. There was no being able to call and expect someone to help you instantaneously. You had to navigate the journey. But I know the number that were chosen for 911 had never been. They were chosen, 911 was chosen because they had never been designated for an office code, area code, or a service code. So when they were trying to get this back underway so that we could have this emergency, a number that we could get help when we needed help, they were choosing these numbers. They chose 911 because of this reason. In 1976, about 17% of this nation was serviced by the 911 system. So 17% of our nation could call the 911 system. In 79, about 26%, push the button, but 26%. In 1987, about 50% of our nation had 911, could get help in calling 911. But at the end of the 20th century, about 93%, and today, about 96% of our nation is covered by the 911 system. We've made great strides in the few years that 911 has been out there to help, to be the call, to be the urgent call. When you need an urgent help, when you need urgent help, you need to make the call. And now we have a number, and 96% of our nation is covered by this number. You can pick up the phone, 911, and get someone on the other end that can help you in your urgency, in your emergency. Have you ever called 911 in an emergency? I can remember years ago when Tracy was about 8 or 9 years old, she had this diabetic emergency in her life. And all of a sudden, in the early hours of the night, Tracy was having a blood sugar that had tanked out. We found out it probably was even maybe close to the single digit blood sugar. Her body was seizing. Her body was sweaty. Her body was fighting for its life. Her eyes, when I looked into her eyes as I carried her from her bedroom down to the living room, as I looked into her eyes, they were both full of fear and empty all at the same time. There was an emergency going on in our house. There was a great need going on in our house. We were actively trying to get a glucose tab in her by crushing the dust into dust and working them between her cheek and her gum, her teeth and her gum, because her teeth were clenched so tight together you could not get them apart. When you're looking at your 8-year-old daughter and all that's going on, you need to cry out for help somewhere. You need to get help. Something's going wrong. Something's not going to finish well if we don't get help. And we rang 911. And the ambulance was there just a few moments later and was able to help us in our urgent need. There was an urgency. I can't even express the urgency that I felt that night. I needed to go above and beyond what we could do in that house. What we had access to in our limited resources was not going to save our daughter. She was going down. We needed to make a call outside of the home. We needed to make a call outside to get external help to come in. When the man came and the ambulance came and an IV was given and blood sugar or glucose was given to her and she began to wake up and we threw her in there, loaded her in the ambulance and to the hospital. And being able to help her navigate through that life-altering situation. The urgency was great. Her life was in the balance. We did not have what it took to get what she needed. We needed to call out for help. Colossians chapter 4, the same urgency is in that passage. If we could read this as the original readers were reading it, we'd hear this urgency. In the Greek, it's urgency. There's a great urgency. There's a need, and you don't have what it takes to meet that need. You need to call out for help. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. The word devote simply means this. To give constant attention to give unrelenting attention to persevere with intensity. You need to devote yourself. You need to cry out with intensity. You need to persevere with intensity. You need to give constant, unrelenting attention to this. Because why? Because you ain't got it, and you need it. And it's available. And you need to devote yourself to prayer. And this week, as I was navigating through this, I said, God, what is prayer? I needed to be devoted to prayer. And God, what is prayer? I got the theological answer. I can answer the test. I can pass that part of my ordination exam a few years ago by explaining the theological implications of prayer, perhaps. But I'm thinking in my office, he said, God, you wanted me with the same intensity that 911 call so many years ago was given in our house. With that kind of intensity, you want me to pray. Persevere with intensity, unrelenting attention to prayer. You want me to pray? What is prayer? And I put my head down on my desk. And I always try to do that when I know Cheryl's not going to walk by my office because she might think I'm having a cardiac situation. But I put my head down on my desk and I said, God, I don't know what prayer is. Perhaps not at that level that you want me to pray, that you want me to devote myself, that you want to have me unrelenting, pursuing and persevering after what you refer to as prayer. What is prayer, God? What can be that important that I am supposed to persevere with intensity? And he began to answer me, and I got my thinking book out. And he began to answer me, and I began to write it in my thinking book. And this is what he said to me. It's the soul of a freed slave who is saturated with the blood of Jesus, knocking on the very door of God the Father, and hearing the voice say, come in. Then entering with a heart that is dripping with adoration and worship and thanksgiving and praise because they know and are known by the one true God. They are in the very presence of God. The very presence causes that freed, blood-soaked individual to ask God to release his kingdom into the here and now.
That's what he told me this week.
Devote yourself to that. Devote yourself to knowing that you know and are known by the one true God. Devote yourself to the fact that you can enter the very presence of God. Devote yourself that in the very presence, just by being in that very presence of God, it will cause you to ask for God to release his kingdom in the here and the now. Devote yourself to prayer. New life, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. Pursue it with intensity. Call with a great urgency. Understanding that without Christ, we cannot even come into the presence of God. But then we understand, but with Jesus, I can approach God, and then I don't. He said you need to devote yourself to prayer. You need to call out because you have a need that you can't fill. You got something that's you need in your life that you can't manifest inside your own life. You're going down. And what is needed is just a call away. You need to devote yourself to that call. You need to pursue prayer with intensity. You need to cry out to God, understanding that you are a freed slave and you are dripping in the blood of Jesus. Devote yourself to prayer and be watchful and thankful. Be watchful to take heed, lest through neglect and apathy, some destructive tragedy suddenly overtake one. That's what that means. Take heed of this. Take heed that I'm asking and even commanding or inviting you to devote yourself to prayer. And watchful, take heed, because if you let it down, your daughter's going to die. Right here in your hands. Watchful, he says. You need to be watchful. Make the call, he's saying. And thankful, overwhelming heart, gratitude that someone is answering. Call 911, I think is what Paul is telling the church of Colossae. It's available in your area. You have access to it. Devote yourself. This great intensity. Pursue it unrelentingly. Pursue the presence of God. And as you're in that presence of God, begin to let that very presence of God cry out in your own soul and cry out to release God's kingdom into this world. Because if you don't, something's going to overtake you. Watchful. Something is going to overtake you. You've got a need, he says. You've got a need, and you don't have what you need inside of you. Cry out. And watch what God does. Get on the phone with God. Because apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Can we just lose our arrogant pride for one moment? And just embrace that we can do nothing without Jesus. Be still, he says to the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. And I will be exalted among the nations. That is a very unique verse. By me being still, by me being in the very presence of God, by me being devoted to prayer, by me being still and knowing that he is God, somehow through that, God begins to be exalted among the nations. By those who have been in the very presence of God, coming out of that very presence, and God is exalted through them. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. See, we got an arrogant attitude that we think we could do it without God. I don't need to call 911. I got it. I can do this without God. No, you can't. No, neither can I. It says this in Psalm 18. It says this. It says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me. He, capital H, he enables me to stand on new heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down and make me great. You broaden my path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Wake up! We need to call out to God. Look what he says in verse 3. Pray for us too. Over and over and over, we see Paul asking for someone to pray for him. The apostle Paul is asking for someone to pray for him. And he says this in different passages. He says this in Romans. He said, I urge you, brothers, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Push the button, please. In Ephesians, pray also for me. Thessalonians, brothers, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians, finally, brothers, pray for us. Enter that very presence of God with intensity and ask God to release his kingdom into our lives as well. That's a phenomenon to me. And while you're there, he says, listen to the nature of his call. Now here's the message. I'm going to start here. Here's the nature of the call. Because when you call 911, how they answer? 911, what's your emergency? Don't you love it when God says, here I am. What do you need? Here I am. What do you need? And so Paul has this cry out, this understanding. He said, cry out this way and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. So I may proclaim the gospel, he says, the mysteries of Christ. While you're in there, while you're in the very presence of God, while you're crying out to God, would you cry out to him for me that he would open doors that I could carry the gospel into a world that so desperately needs it? Would you spend some of the time on the phone with 911 just saying, God, would you open doors so that the message of God and sin and man's separation from God and Jesus and forgiveness and adoption and eternal life can come about. Would you pray with me and for me, he said, that these doors would be open, the next door into someone's life, that the mysteries of Christ may be made known to them, that the gospel may be known to them. I want you to pray. For crying out loud, he's in prison. Paul is in prison. My request was, can you pray for the guards? Can you pray that they'll behave? Can you pray that they feed me better? Can you pray that I get out of here? Can you pray that my lawyer shows up? Can you pray that I can raise the bail money? No, Paul says, can you pray that doors would be open? That the gospel could go forward? Am I making sense today? Yes. I want the gospel to go forward, and I can't do it on my own. I need to call 911, and I need to have God answer the phone, and I'm doing it, and I need you to do it for me too, that the gospel would go forward, that God would open up the doors to those who are on the wrong path, because I want to let people know all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the great craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. Paul says, would you just ask God to open up the door to one person who is on the wrong path of life, because I just want to tell him about Jesus. I just want to tell that person who is trying to navigate the wrong road, God, I don't want to walk through it with a ball bat. And I don't want to get that, remember those old big family Bibles you could hardly pick off the stand. I don't want to get one of those, just whack somebody. God, I need you to open a door, because I got such a heart that I want to share the gospel with somebody. I know it's going to transform their life, and I want to share it with them. But God, I need you to open that door to the person who's on the wrong path. Have you ever prayed that? Shame on us. I want you to open doors, God, for those who are dead in their sins. There's a lot going on in my life. But if I take my last breath in this life, I am not dead in my sins. I have been made alive in Jesus. He said, God, would you pray? Would you take that 911 call? And would you just use some moments of that call that you made, that you can cry out with you're soaked in the blood of Jesus, and you're in the very presence of God, and that very presence is causing you to ask God to release his kingdom into this world. Can you ask him to open up a door to those who are dead in their sins? But Paul, you're in prison. I don't care. I'm not dead in my sins. He wants him to open up doors to those who have no life. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has life, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I want you to open up to pray that God would open up the doors to those that are at odds with God. There are people who are at odds with God. There are people who are mad at God. There are people, God, would you just open up a door? Have we ever prayed that? If not, shame on us. $4.65 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus in this world. God, would you open up the doors to those who are headed with an eternity to an eternity without Christ? Church of Colossae, when you're on the phone with God, would you mention my name? And would you ask him to open up a door so I can share the gospel? Would you ask him to open up the doors to those who are looking in an eternity without Jesus? Cheryl's mom was got the "you have liver cancer" news this week. I'm not sure what God's going to do this side of eternity, but I do know what God's going to do in eternity for Cheryl's mom, because she is not looking at a life an eternity without Jesus. Paul says, will you just pray with me that God would open up the door so I could bring the gospel to someone? Verse 3 continues. He said, pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message. For our message. I found that very interesting this week. He said, it's my message. It's my message that God has given me. I'm part of it here. Would you pray that I would be able to give my message? The gospel, my message. Paul's calling it his message. He's taking ownership of that message. He knows that it's his message. He knows what it's done in his life. And he knows what it can do in someone else's life. He said, I want to give my message to someone. I know what it'll do. I know what it'll do in someone's life. You own the message. I believe that's what it's saying. God says, I've given you the message. And he says this in Matthew. He says this, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will put a message in you. I will put a message in you and you will take that message wherever you go. You will own that message. It's my salvation, but I give the message to you. I put this message in jars of clay, he told the church of Corinth. I put this treasure in a jar of clay. You own the message. Where are you taking the message? Paul says, will you pray that God would open up doors so I could take the message that's burning a hole in my soul? Would you pray that I would be able to take this message, my message, not just a message, but the message of Jesus that he's put in me? You own it. You're responsible for it. It says this in Mark 16:15. It says this, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. What are you doing with that message? What are you doing with that message? You own it. It's in you. You own it. It's in you. Would you pray that God would open up the door so I could take that message into a world that so desperately needs it? It's your message. It's in you. Pray that God would open up a door that I would be able to give my message to someone. God, I just want to share what you've done in my life. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that how God loves me, that how sin has separated me from God. Yep, through the blood of Jesus and his death on the cross, that he's made a way that you and I could know him. He said, I want to tell someone that message. I want to give someone that message. Will you go? Will you pray with me that the door would be open? That's your message. It's your message. God has given it to you and to me. And Paul says, I don't want to just sit on this message. I don't want to just sit on this message. I want to be able to give this message to a world that so desperately needs this message. It's my message to give. I'm taking responsibility for this message. And I don't plan on sitting on it like a hen sitting on a bunch of eggs waiting for them to hatch. I plan on being active and seeking God and taking the very presence of God and asking him to open doors so I can share his message, my message to the lost and dying world, to those who are on the wrong path. It's your message. Aren't you glad you don't get this one? Here, take this into all the world. Good luck with that. How about it? How about that one? How about this one? Or this one? That stinks, doesn't it? Yeah. How about that one? Young lady, you got to have one too. He said, I got a message. Tyler, stand up for a minute. Mike, stand up. David, stand up. Tobin, stand up. Bob, would you stand up? just so you know, statistically, this many people in this room will take this message to the lost world. Five people in this room. You can sit down. It's your message, he says. I've given it to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take? And Paul says, I am not going to sit on it. And verse 4, he says this, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And I tell you what, in my office, I laugh right out loud. You're the Apostle Paul. He said, man, I get tongue-tied. Man, I get nervous when it's time to share. Would you pray along with me? Would you ask God when you're in the very presence of God, making that 911 call? Would you ask God to give me clarity as I proclaim it? That I can make it clear in people's lives. I don't want to walk through the door and kick through the door and beat them with something. But I want it to be clear. Would you pray with me that I would be able to have an open door and a clear message? Look what he says in Romans. I am obligated both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentiles. I am not afraid and I am not ashamed of the gospel. But God, would you give me clarity as I proclaim my message that you put in me? The message that I want you to proclaim to a lost and dying world. It's your message. Would you take it to the world? Would you pray? Would you use some of your time in the very presence of God to ask God to open up doors for me and us and open up doors that we may proclaim the full message of this new life? Would we just spend some time in the very presence of God, understanding that people without Jesus are lost? Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, those that are outside of a relationship with Jesus. That's what that means. Would you be wise? Don't you just love that? Now, wait a minute. Be wise. Be wise in the way that you interact with those. God, would you open up a door? God, would you help me proclaim it clearly? Would you help me realize that it's my message that you planted in me to give to this world? Just to be honest, I think I've spent more time in the last couple of weeks whining about the troubles in my life than I have seeking God to open up doors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And make the most of every opportunity. Don't drive by. God, help me. God, help me. Know what this means to me? God, help me not drive by an open door. God, you've opened up a door, and I need to make the most of every opportunity. You're opening doors, and I want to be able to share the gospel with someone. The ones that you open up the door, it's your message. He said, I give you the message. What are you doing with it? I want to be wise with it, God. I want to make the most out of every opportunity. Oh, I got some hiccups in my life, sure. But I'm not at odds with God. And I'm not headed toward a Christless eternity. See, Jesus said in John 14:6, he says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, I have a feeling that the church has stopped believing that. we've come to the fact that maybe we believe people are okay without Jesus. Hey, they look like they're doing all right. And we've stopped praying for open doors, and we've stopped praying for clarity. And we've stopped praying that we would have this message on our hearts no matter where we go. And we've stopped praying for wisdom. And we forgot to get angry over missing opportunities that God has opened up for us. To proclaim this message. I'll give you one, young man. That you can preach this message into all the world. Hey, Matthew. Good to see you. That I'll be wise and I won't miss opportunities. That I'll take every opportunity that you give me, God. Every opportunity that you give me. And I'll walk through the door. Because, God, you didn't give me an empty index card. You gave me one with a message on it. It's on my heart. It's my message. I promise one more verse. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let me translate that in my understanding this week. Careful and careful conversation. Paul says, would you use some of your time that you get to come into the presence of God? And would you ask him to open up doors? Would you ask him to help me proclaim it clearly? Would you ask him to help me not miss opportunities? Would you ask him to help me be wise? Would you ask him to help my conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt? Would you ask him to do that? Would you ask him as I carry this message of the gospel into this world? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them? And how can they tell them unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. What are you doing with the message? Paul says, I'm not sitting on it anymore. Pray. Pray that doors would be open. Pray that I would proclaim it clearly. Pray that I would be wise. Pray that I would not miss an opportunity. Pray that I'll be seasoned with salt and full of grace. Pray. Stand with me today. Father, thank you. Father, before I say that, thank you. I need to say thank you, and then I need to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for getting caught up in things of this world. Forgive me that, unlike Paul, that I can see the prison doors at times and the poor prison food. And I can see the troubles of my surroundings. Forgive me that I see the troubles of my surroundings and not the lostness of man. Father, I would pray that more than five of us would carry a message. And I pray that you would open up doors. I pray that you would help us proclaim it clearly. I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that we would not miss an opportunity. I pray that our conversation would be full of grace, would be careful and careful. And I pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forth into this land, into this community, into our families. And because we prayed and because we moved, people would hear the gospel of Jesus and surrender their hearts to Him and begin this relationship with God. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your love and your grace and mercy that you pour out on us. Thank you for being patient with me and perhaps with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.